Jesus said, "Hear another parable. There was a master of a house who planted a vineyard. He put a fence around it, and dug a wine press in it, and built a tower and leased it to tenants, and went into another country. When the season for fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the tenants to get his fruit. And the tenants took his servants and beat one, killed another, and stoned another. Again, he sent other servants, more than the first, and they did the same to them. Finally, he sent his son to them, saying, 'They will respect my son.' But when the tenants saw the son, they said to themselves, 'This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and have his inheritance.' And they took him and threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. When therefore the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants?" They said to him, "He will put those wretches to a miserable death and let out the vineyard to other tenants who will give him the fruits in their seasons." Jesus said to them, "Have you never read in the scriptures, 'The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes.' Therefore I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people producing its fruits. And the one who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces, and when it falls on anyone, it will crush him." When the chief priests and the Pharisees heard his parables, they perceived that he was speaking about them. And although they were seeking to arrest him, they feared the crowds, because they held him to be a prophet. This is the gospel of the Lord. So our gospel reading said that there was a master of a house who loved his land and his workers, the tenants, people who rented the land from him and worked it. These tenants cared for the property. They harvested the grapes. And these tenants were to give the fruit to their master. And one day the master sent some of his servants to retrieve the fruit that belonged to him. And you heard what those tenants did to the servants. Our gospel reading said the tenants beat up some of the servants, and they even killed others. So the master sent more of his servants, a larger group. And you know what happened? The tenants beat up some of those servants and killed even more. So the master sent his own son. Surely they will listen to the son. He's the son of the owner. It's just as good as sending the father if a son comes on his behalf. But the tenants even killed the son. There was no talking. There was no debating. There was no negotiation. They just killed him. Those tenants were supposed to give something. They were supposed to give fruits. And instead they took something. They took a life. You can't turn on the news this week without hearing about Las Vegas. Terrible tragedy with 58 people killed and over 500 injured. We want to know how someone could do this. Well, we may never know why, at least in a worldly way. The tenants in our gospel reading were also murderers. With them, we are told why the tenants in our gospel reading killed. Those tenants killed the servants and killed more servants and finally killed the son for one reason. They were hoping to take the master's inheritance for themselves. They wanted to take what belonged to the master for themselves. They wanted to take what belonged to the master and make it their own. The shooter in Las Vegas was not the first murderer in the world, and he won't be the last. The tenants in our gospel reading were not the first murderers in the world, and they won't be the last. Adam and Eve, our first parents, they also wanted something for themselves. They wanted to be just like God. They wanted to become gods. So when they raised their arms to grab the fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they might as well have been raising their hands to point a gun at God's head. They wanted everything God had for themselves. It was beyond an armed robbery. They killed far more than just a single person or even 58 other people. They killed the image in which they were created. They killed the image of God. And because of their great sin, this first sin, they also killed us. We call it our sinful nature. The Apostle Paul calls it our old Adam. Whatever you want to call it, it is in our nature to do these things, like murder. Jesus himself said in Matthew chapter 15, "The things that come out of a person's mouth come from the heart, and these defile a person. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. And these are the things that defile a person." And Jesus also said in Matthew chapter 5, "You have heard that it was said to the people long ago, 'You shall not murder,' and 'Anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with a brother or sister will be subject to judgment.'" We break the commandment on murder just as easily by pulling the trigger on a gun as we do by pulling the trigger on our mouths, by being angry with one another, by being hostile to each other. And that starts in our hearts. Now, granted, these two ways of killing are different. But in God's eyes, from God's perspective, murder is murder. We can kill another person in our heart, or we can kill another person in their body. Murder is murder. And murder has been going on since the beginning. Adam and Eve tried to take God's glory and make it their own. And in the process, they murdered God's image they were made in, so that now all of us have inherited a sinful nature. The tenants in our gospel reading tried to steal the inheritance from their master, and they murdered. And the shooter from Las Vegas tried to place himself in the position of God. He tried to determine whether someone lives or dies, and that's something that only belongs to God to decide. But the good news for us is that God is not going to put up with this forever. And God the Father has already selected a day when all murder will cease and when all swords will be beaten into plowshares. And through Jesus, God has already put that plan into operation. You know, there are many things I love about our God, and I love about how our God works. But there's one thing I love the most, and it's how he can turn things on their heads. So as Jesus said, "The poor in spirit will own the kingdom of heaven. The meek will inherit the earth." And maybe the best one for us to remember today, and especially in light of the events of this week, is that out of one death will come life for all. You know, someone who murders thinks they have had the final word. They think that ending someone's life has ended that person. Oh, what power I have. But that just isn't true. And we especially see it not being true in the case of Jesus. Did Jesus stay dead? No. Jesus was killed, But they didn't keep him dead. They couldn't keep him dead. And through that death and through that resurrection of Jesus, God has taken his resurrection and he's just upended everything that we know of about death. He's flipped it upside down. The parable in our gospel reading supposedly ended with the master's son being killed by the tenants. But that's not the end of the story. Because we know God the Father sent his son Jesus into the vineyard of this world, sent to the tenants of his children of Israel. And yes, they did kill Jesus. But that death didn't last. And because of Jesus' resurrection from the dead, God's kingdom has now been given to you. The scripture said that. They prophesied that the kingdom of God would be taken away from the Jews and given to a people who will produce its fruit. Those people that Jesus talked about are you. And God, our great master, has rebuilt a new vineyard. And the cornerstone of this new vineyard is nothing less than Jesus himself, our chief cornerstone, upon whom everything has now been built. Because upon Christ, God plants a vineyard of his body and blood to nourish you. And upon Christ, God builds a fence of baptism around you to protect you against the assaults of the devil and your flesh. And it's upon Christ that God has built a watchtower of his holy word, a word that is shouted and proclaimed to all of us to hear. So now you are those people who have been given salvation in Christ. You are a new people, a people cared for by God himself, protected by God himself, loved by God himself. We don't have to be like that shooter in Las Vegas. He tried to place himself in the position of God. His mind became twisted upon gratifying his own desires rather than being concerned with God's desires. His intellect became twisted in devising these schemes and plans to fulfill his own desires and schemes rather than falling in line with God's plan for salvation. His money was spent to purchase guns, and that money could have done wonders in the church or gone toward a missionary like Pastor Wolkema, who instead of spreading bullets at people, could have spread the word of God amongst hundreds. Each and every one of you have been given God's Spirit. You don't have to follow the desires of your sinful nature anymore. You never have to be a slave to your old Adam ever again. Whereas the tenants in our gospel reading conspired to steal their master's inheritance, you have already been given everything your master owns. Everything that God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit has and does is being given to you every day of your life. You are already rich, rich in faith. You are already wealthy, wealthy in being a possessor of God's own kingdom. And you are already filled with contentment because you are satisfied with Christ. As Paul said, having given up everything, counted everything else in your life as rubbish, as trash. You've been given everything. Our God has truly made you a fascinating people through Christ. You truly are deeply loved by God and cared for by Christ. And Christ will always desire to be that son coming to you in his word and sacraments, and always encouraging you to produce good fruits, fruit for your heavenly Father, fruits of thankfulness and praise, fruit that is concerned with the will of our heavenly Father and our earthly neighbor, and not concerned in gratifying our sinful nature, no matter how that nature desires to manifest itself, whether it's in a mass murder or even speaking ill and whole harboring anger in your heart. You have been set free from your sinful nature. And thanks to Jesus Christ, we never have to live gratifying our sinful flesh ever again, because you are no longer a slave to it. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses our understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.